Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our look at the lessons learnt from last Sunday's AstraZeneca vaccine opt-in registration for Selangor and KL residents. 260,000 people registered for a first dose, but they represent only a small percentage of the millions of adults who live in the capital and surrounding states. So what do we know of the success of that opt-in process? Joining us on the line now to share his opinions is Dr. Helmi Hajjah Maidin, consultant respiratory physician at Bantai Hospital KL. Dr. Helmi, good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. So what are your thoughts on the government's decision to, number one, carve out the AstraZeneca vaccine from the main delivery, the mainstream delivery of the national vaccination program? And number two, the choice of opt-in system. And finally, number three, opening that registration only for residents of KL and Selangor. What do you make of all these different things coming together on Sunday's registration process?
I suppose it was unexpected, but it was a pleasant surprise to many in many ways. So if we take a step back, the reason it was done in such a way was because there were all these increasing concerns, perhaps unjustly, with regards to the risk involved. And it was to basically make sure that those who sign up to MySejahtera felt more safe, felt a little bit more confident, and at the same time to perhaps test and see what would happen if we were to allow people to make a choice. And in this particular case, we had the AZ vaccines. So I think overall, it was very pleasantly surprising to see how people were rushing to get it. Having said that, there are also lots of people who still had lots of reservations, who were asking around. And I caught part of your conversation with Dr. Call earlier, and he mentioned how about 20% of people, or rather 30% of people, were the fence sitters. And these are the people that you'd want to target when it comes to pushing them forward and giving them the right messaging. So I think that was very good. As you kind of, you're alluding to, it's KL and Selangor, so perhaps not across the country. But bearing in mind, it's kind of a proof of concept rather than a fixed way of doing things. And I would imagine that if things were to work out well, then the next time the AstraZeneca vaccine were to come on board, they may perhaps continue this with all the, you know, addressing all the lessons that we need to kind of bear in mind as well, including things like the servers being overloaded and making sure that this is accessible not only to people in KL and Selangor, but across the country, as well as those who have connectivity.
Yeah, Helmi, I mean, it did produce with some people a lot of anxiety. I think that and partly because of those technical problems, some perhaps, you know, criticisms that the system itself should have been tested first before it went live on Sunday. But I want to come back to this, to the anger it seems to have provoked in some people that it became too much of a game. This first come, first serve principle that was being that undergrid this system was essentially unfair. Do you think that we should take such a harsh view of what the government did on Sunday?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's unfair. Once again, this is carving out a small number of the overall total of vaccines to try a new way of doing things. And yes, it was not perfect. Yes, there were issues with the server. But, you know, I've had friends who were quite proudly telling me how they opened 10 different tabs at once, each time clicking on a different time, a different location. And if you imagine thousands of people doing that, you are going to overwhelm the server no matter how well prepared you are. And having said that, even beforehand, there were lots of concerns about the fact that people would not be signing up. So I wouldn't say I know the details as to what degree they were preparing for this. Yes, it could have been better. Yes, there were lots of hours of anxiety with regards to people trying to click in for both themselves and their loved ones. But at the end of the day, most people did get the time and the place that they wanted, and most people were able to sign up for the vaccine. Is it unfair? It's a small number, and once again, it is not actually excluding others from getting the vaccine. We have a situation where we are offering vaccines where people are not turning up to get their vaccines. And I'd rather see people opt in and get the vaccines that they want and protect more people than for people to be forced to take something that they don't want and not turn up in the end.
You know, those people that you mentioned who don't, who have signed up and don't turn up, you know, some figures have put it at 15-20% of those registered under phase two that didn't show up and then therefore led to wasted precious vaccine doses. Do we know if that is attributed to vaccine hesitancy or some other flaw within the system that we're not addressing?
I don't know the details. So perhaps this is one of those things where a bit of information coming out from those in charge would be useful, because then we can look into how we can improve matters. I would imagine some of it would be hesitancy, some of it would be perhaps even simple logistics. What I would imagine would be suitable and really necessary is to find a way in which we minimize the waste. And I know for a fact there are ways of doing this, that they are looking into people who can come in at the very last minute. But having this in a more systemic fashion, in a more practical and perhaps a more transparent way, would also be useful, because it means that there'll be more people who'll be able to come in. If it is issues with vaccine hesitancy, then I would imagine that there are people that we can identify. There are people that in some way we can perhaps introduce something punitive. But that's just me being a bit harsh.
Helmi, there, of course, you know, different communities around Malaysia with maybe different capacity. You talk about somebody with 10, you know, tabs open. That not everybody in Malaysia is digitally savvy or digital native. Do you think when we look especially at marginalized groups, groups that are outside the mainstream grid in terms of information, those who suffer because of the digital divide, that we'll need to find different strategies? Do you have a sense of what those strategies might be, you know, not using apps and so on and so forth? What could it be for them?
It would depend on whether we're talking about, say, those in the urban areas who have poor connectivity, or perhaps even those in more rural areas. Now, in an ideal world, and I do believe that they are looking into this, we are wanting to see if we can perhaps use different types of vaccines for different types of areas. So, for example, if we were to come across and get a supply of single-dose vaccines, then those would be more suitable to be given in more rural areas. If, let's say, we're going into the deeper parts of Sabah, Sarawak, even Peninsular Malaysia, you'd want to be able to go to the people rather than expect them to come to you. Because getting multiple families, dozens of them coming across to urban centres to get vaccinated, is not logistically possible, nor is it something that's financially viable for a lot of people. So in a small number of people, if we are able to identify those who are more vulnerable, then it would be the job of us as doctors and healthcare professionals to go to them and give them the vaccine.
Right. Can I ask you, Helmi, because you did say in the beginning of our conversation, you know, last Sunday's registration process was essentially a test to see, you know, how people would react if they were given a choice. And clearly, overwhelmingly, people wanted that sense of agency, that sense of control. Do you think then, Helmi, that the right move should be to have this opt-in system put in place to perhaps give people an option of specific vaccines, time and date of when they're gonna they want to get their vaccine slot? Is that something that you think should be done in the future?
I think in terms of timing and date, then yes, there should be some mechanism where people will be able to proactively get their, you know, their whatever time or date that they feel most appropriate. In terms of the choice of vaccine, the problem remains the fact that we have far greater demand and supply. So we're not in a position where we're able to buy 20 million doses of each type of vaccine and, you know, offer a smorgasbord of choices to people all around us. If that were the case, then yes, everyone should be able to just pick what they want and when they want. But we may be able to choose when we want it, but as to what and what type of vaccine, which country it comes from, I think logistically it's just impossible. And once again, the idea right now is to vaccinate as many people as quickly as possible so that we get people protected, so that we reduce the chances of variants being produced within our own community.
Helmi, you know, you're anticipating some of the questions that we might face in the coming months, because we know that the vaccine candidates around the world have turned into real opportunities. Vaccines that have now have been tried and tested, thinking of the Russian Sputnik V, Bagamel, and all those others that are now already being used in other contexts. Do you think we're moving fast enough in terms of approving these different vaccines, or is our caution, in fact, something good?
I suppose it depends who you talk to. I think we are going at just about the right pace in the sense that we have professionals in the NPRA, we have professionals in the JAV, I always forget how to, which letters are in there, but essentially you want them to be able to look at the data properly. You don't want them to rush into making a decision that they may regret, because it's not just about vaccines coming in, it's about making sure that, say, for example, they are repackaged in Malaysia, you want to make sure the process is safe. And if you just look at what we've been experiencing for the past few weeks to the past few months, there are so many people saying all sorts of, you know, nonsense and sharing all kinds of scare stories. The last thing you want is to cut corners in the safety mechanism and in the process in which they are supposed to follow, and then for there to be a mistake. Because at the end of the day, we are all humans, and the process is there for a reason to minimize the mistake. I'm sure somewhere along the lines we've talked about the Swiss cheese model, and this is where we want to make sure that all the appropriate precautions are taken in order for us to be able to make the right decision so that the people get the benefit with minimal side effects.
Helmi, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We really do appreciate your time and your insights. But that's all the time we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Before we leave you, a reminder, don't forget to get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com and the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We will be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.
Good night.